This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Coming up, we'll hear a conservative plan to address climate change. But first, we're joined by Western Michigan University President John Dunn.
Thank you for being here.
Gordon, thank you. It's very nice to be with you. And pardon me, I have a little bit of a cold, but it is me. The voice may be different, but it is me.
And also here is Yvonne Zipp of the Kalamazoo Gazette.
Thanks so much for having me.
And Yvonne, first question for President Dunn.
President Dunn, there was the shooting at the fraternity house about a week ago, and the fraternity has since been temporarily suspended by the university. I wanted to ask a little bit just about the safety of students and the climate on Western.
Well, of course, safety of students is first and foremost on any president's list, and it's critical that we maintain good safety for our students. We do have a fraternal system here, fraternities and sororities. We feel good about that. I've been asked many times, what's your view of fraternities and sororities? And it's positive. I think they do many good things. But incidents like this are really create a black mark, not only for the fraternal group, but for the university as a whole. And, of course, the most importantly is, again, the safety of our students. So, you know, I like to encourage young people when I go to work in the morning, I want to have some fun. But fun is not bad. It's about moderation and being respectful of others and using good judgment. And if you have a fraternity that can no longer control its setting and its environment, then, you know, there are consequences for that. And we need to take action, and we have.
MLive recently did a story on the debts and liabilities of universities in Michigan. One of the things that came out in that article, which I had not seen anywhere else, is that Standard & Poor's downgraded its outlook on Western Michigan University's
outstanding
bonds.
That's not correct.
Bonds.
Let me correct you there.
Okay.
They did not downgrade us. In other words, our rating stayed the same. What they did is they changed our outlook from stable to negative. But that's not a downgrade, and it has been reported that way, and that's always insulting and a little infuriating when people report it that way. So pardon me, but I want to
No,
make
that's
sure
fine.
That
Let's make sure we
clear.
Have it right.
Yeah.
But among the reasons for changing the outlook is the risk of starting a new medical school and flat enrollment trends. So with the outlook having been changed from stable to negative, is that a cause for the long-term financial concern of Western Michigan University?
Well, I will say this. We went out for our bonds last week, and the response to that was exceptionally good as we've ever seen. And I think that it's important to acknowledge that there are two rating agencies that we have, Moody's and Standard & Poor's. Moody's came, actually spent a day here, looked at the community, looked at the university, and left with a kind of a gaga attitude about no change. They were very happy with what they saw.
Was Standard & Poor's
Standard
less,
& Poor's
less,
did theirs by
thorough?
Phone
okay.
For ours. In interviews, and I think by the admission of even some folks in Standard & Poor's, they have some difficulty understanding the complexity of the medical schools. For instance, one of the questions that was asked or an observation was made, well, what if the hospitals should somehow go out of business? Well, you know, these hospitals have been here forever. They're not going to go out of business or anchor institutions. So in some ways, it was a little insulting, but I think that it will change. I do think there's some news in the works that can be very positive with respect to the medical school that could change all of that rather quickly.
Going back to that MLive article, one of the things they mentioned about universities in Michigan and why there are more long-term liabilities and debt on the sheet is that they're in what they call an amenities arms race. In other words, new buildings, new facilities. In terms of what you've done at Western Michigan University, do you think you've been prudent in terms of putting up new buildings and in terms of are you spending – balancing the cost versus what you want to do to attract new students?
Yeah, I do understand your question, and I have read same. I think there's this sort of this argument that students are demanding these amenities, and therefore we're responding as such. We are responding as such, but I don't think we're being over the top in terms of the amenities that we're providing. These are the kinds of things that most parents and grandparents and people who love young people would expect on a university campus. And some of that relates to better procedures for safety in terms of the amenities you need to be able to get out a safety warning to students. You know, some would view that as an amenity. I mean, in the old days, you did a bugle in the center of the campus. Well, that no longer is successful, and we can't do it that way. I think our residential living that we put together is a very nice apartment complexes on campus. Those would be no different than the amenities that a student might find in the community. The difference is it is within the university. We know what the impact of that is on a student success rate in terms of graduation and retention. So we're pleased about that. Remember that overall our budget, when we started here in 2007, we had an operating budget deficit. We no longer have that deficit. Do we have a debt load? Yes, we do. We service that well. And I think we've been very thoughtful. We've just gone through another of our audits, and our overall financial health is good.
Yvonne?
Dr. Dunn, I had a question about Western's recent formal affiliation with Cooley Law School, which mm-hmm. both presidents just signed. I was wondering if you could maybe give us a sense of what is Western hoping to get out of this partnership?
Yeah, I think, if you go way, way, way back, at one time, Western Michigan University actually had on its planning dockets the development of a law school. And at that time, there was a feeling that, Ann Arbor had a law school, Michigan State does not, and then some discussions about all of that. And, of course, then Michigan State really affiliated, and that is the term, with the Detroit College of Law. And the Detroit College of Law, today we know it as Michigan State University College of Law, but it has a separate governance structure, very similar to what we are proposed with Cooley. It has its own board. It's a separate, discrete entity within Michigan State University. What we hope to get out of this is that certainly to eventually have a 3+3 for students so that they can access a great education at Western Michigan University and an equally fine law degree working through Cooley. In addition to that, there are many JD graduate programs that we have already in place, but more that we would like to have in place. And today it's not about, you've heard me say this before, it's not so much about competing. It's more about how do we look at limited resources and utilize those wisely to the benefit of students. I mean, that's really what the mission is. And if we can do that, and I think we have a good plan to do that, I think it's going to be very successful.
What are the similarities and the differences between what Michigan State did with the Detroit College of Law and what Western, at least at the outset, is planning to do with Cooley Law School?
I had a very nice conversation several months ago with Peter McPherson, who was the president at that time at Michigan State. And Peter also has a JD and is now the CEO of the Association of Public and Land-Grant Universities. So, and a graduate, by the way, a graduate degree from Western Michigan University. But he was very affirmative and very positive about the Cooley affiliation. We had a long conversation, and then he gave me the history of how the Detroit College of Law made the transition to Michigan State. If you'll go back and look at your history, it was the Detroit College of Law at Michigan State University, then it was the Michigan State University Detroit College of Law, and then ultimately it became Michigan State University College of Law. But when you go in and look at the documents that I've been able to access, it maintains its separateness, its discrete governance structure. I assume that its finances do the same. And, of course, that's what we have proposed all along in our relationship. We don't want to be, we never want to mislead anyone about that, and we'll make sure that people understand clearly what an affiliation is and what it is not. And we have a responsibility to do that for our students. And we still have the ABA, the American Bar Association, and the Higher Learning Commission. We need their reviews and approvals. The Michigan State College of Law is not HLC, but it is ABA. Cooley is a higher learning commission, as is obviously Western Michigan University.
We are speaking on Tuesday morning, so the federal government shutdown has just begun. Does that have any impact on, say, student aid, student loans, federal research dollars right now?
Yeah, right now the impact would be minimal, but we are keeping our eye on it. And there have been some documents and some transmittal letters to universities and university presidents indicating that offices on financial aid and being able to access that kind of information and help and support is available. I think the area of concern might, as we look longer term at National Science Foundation, National Institute of Health, and impact it might have in terms of support. I am worried about visas. We have a large number of students that do study abroad. We have faculty that travel around the world. And if you're going to get a visa, as we all heard this morning on NPR, you better do it quick.
On student loans, I want to ask you about another topic here, because the Detroit Free Press had a story today showing that default rates among Michigan students are up for the last three-year period they could examine. Then there was also a big article in Rolling Stone on students who are left with this large amount of debt at the end of their college careers. And a question was raised there, if there isn't just too much credit available, and therefore colleges and universities are not feeling the pressure to bring their costs down because they know students can get the money to get in the door. The question is, can they pay it on the other side? What's your reaction to that?
First of all, I don't know any of us that get terribly excited about seeing individuals in a lot of debt. And I think that's an overstatement. I didn't read the article as such, so I can't comment more about what was the intent of the author. I think the universities have been very responsible, and I believe that even the budget director for the state of Michigan would concur with that. The challenge is there has been a failure on many states, and to some extent this is true of Michigan, to provide the financial support that's necessary for students. There was a time where the state of Michigan provided scholarships for students. They don't do that anymore. Those dollars are all gone. And so, you know, the question of debt is that we're trying to do our part. Families are clearly trying to do their part. Students are working like crazy to try and sustain themselves. But also remember, we don't control the debt load. And if a student takes out a loan, they can do with that loan anything they want to do. But it's all viewed as educational debt. If I choose to go buy a car with my student aid loan, I can go buy a car. Now, maybe I need that for work, but do I need a new car? Okay, so, you know, we don't govern what students and families choose to do with those dollars that they get through those loans.
I've heard you raise that point before, and I'm sure that is part of the problem, but I guess I just wonder, has anyone studied how much of the problem that is as compared to rising tuition, rising fees, rising costs of other things?
You know, I think that's a very good question. I think it's an excellent observation, and if we had access to all that data, but, you know, there are certain privacy things that make it very difficult for us to be able to monitor all of that. And then we have to get inside of every family structure and every student's mind in terms of what do they really need. I mean, obviously, they need to pay their tuition, they need books, they need a place to live, and they need food on the table. But once you get beyond that, I mean, how many other, to use your term earlier, amenities do they need, right? And you know, those are some pretty interesting questions, and I think a good economist that could do an analysis here would be helpful. Are we worried about our debt load? Absolutely. Is our debt load has it risen? Yes. Do we watch that? Yes. But I also want to change the subject, that I'm very proud that our students who do take out loans are. Ability to continue to pay, and the students do, is much more responsible than what we see for proprietaries or we see for other public universities. Our students do very, very well, and families are responsible. I'm proud of them. Yeah.
This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Our guest today is Western Michigan University President John Dunn. Yvonne Zipp of the Kalamazoo Gazette is also here. Yvonne, next question for President Dunn.
Also today, the first community meetings regarding the redesign of East Hall are going to be going forward. I wondered, is there a sense yet of how much of the wings may be saved or where you are with fundraising on that?
That's really part of the conversation today, and just so that the public is aware, although I guess this will be reported later, I will not be in attendance because I want to make sure that the public and others have full access to provide input, and I wouldn't ever want to dampen that kind of discussion or conversation in any way. Now, let me say one thing to you, though. When you said the redesign of East Hall, remember, it's the redesign of East Hall and East Campus. I mean, we have a vision there of a really beautiful park-like setting that will become, I think, a destination that people will come to not only see East Hall and partake in activities there, but also to enjoy the grounds and the setting and the environment. And as we all know, our landscape crew is second to none anywhere, and that's going to be a very lovely setting.
So is there a sense of the wings yet?
No, there is not. You know, much of it comes down to money again, and that's one of the things that we're trying to access to assess along with what would we do with them? Do you do one and not the other? What does it do to the balance, the look, the feel? And we have good architects that are looking at that and are trying to think that through carefully. Money will be an issue, though, and you know there could be an opportunity if someone said, you know, I'd like to help with that aspect of it.
Is there a deadline here by which you think you really have to make a decision going forward about how much of East Hall is going to be able to to stand?
Yeah, there is a deadline from the standpoint. We're not trying to set a record, but we're on go, and when you're on go, you're on go. And I can tell you what I have seen thus far of the design and the functionality of East Hall with or without the wings is very, very attractive. And I think it will be, it will honor our history, our legacy. And I think that the downtown view looking up at the columns is going to be very, very stunning.
Yvonne?
Switching to sports, which I almost never do, I had a quick question for you about attendance at Waldo Stadium. Mm. Are you seeing what you were hoping to see in terms of the new season and in terms of, you know, people coming and supporting the team, or are you concerned?
We're always concerned. I'll never be happy until there's, 30, 35,000 people in the stadium. I thought Comm University was a very fine turnout. I thought the student turnout last week was not bad. I'd still like to see more. I did note, although I was on the road yesterday, I did pick up the story last night and found it a little bit interesting, MLI's report on attendance. It is what it is, and I thought we had pretty good turnout the other night. So,
if one goes into the comment section on M Live following a Bronco football story, they're going to read some things, a lot of jokes about rowing the boat sort of thing, and some fans, I suppose, who may be questioning hiring a coach who had no head coaching experience, and now he's not off to a very good start. As the president of the university and someone who was pretty enthusiastic yourself when he was hired, what do you say to the fan base right now who may be a little discontent?
Oh, I think that anybody who has been involved in athletics over an extended period of time that is really a student would acknowledge that when you have a brand new coach, there's many things that complexities that you have to give a person time. And, we're pretty thin. Our cupboard is not full in terms of all the ingredients that a new coach would want right now. And we have some injuries and some other, but we're not whining about that. That's the way it is, and you take what you have and you play. And I'm really proud of PJ You know, he's never implied to the kids that that it's about talent level. Okay, he's saying, look, you're it, guys, and we're gonna make this go, and we're gonna do the best we can, and you keep working hard, we keep playing hard, and you know, I think that's the message. And I've watched his post game interviews, and you know, I think he handles himself with enormous class. He does set himself up for high expectations because he has high expectations. He's passionate, you know. I laughed before the Michigan State game. One of the reporters over there thought he was brash. I said, no, wait a minute, he's passionate. You know, brash is, you know, I don't necessarily agree with that term. And he has ideals and high expectations of himself and the team and of the university. And so, hey, I joined with that. So we'll let it play out. We'll talk a year from now, two seasons in, and see where we are.
All right. Western Michigan University President John Dunn, thank you for your time, as always.
Thank you.
And thanks again to Yvonne Zipp of the Kalamazoo Gazette.
Thanks so much for having me, Gordon.